Today's scripture will be 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 33 through 36. Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God."
Good morning, church. There are more than a few visitors, so we are going to take that 2 minutes this morning to say hi to the visitors and one another in preparation for the rest of this this morning. So you got 2 minutes.
Up and says hi to you when you say
that. I know, right?
What's up with that? I don't know, maybe I'll
They don't give me checks either.
No, I appreciate it.
Life is good.
I love seeing
you see the dudes that too tall. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I hope we
I'm on.
Yep.
I'm excited.
You doing all right?
Yep.
I don't know if you're really good. Oh my goodness.
That looks like the 2017 president.
How fast are they going?
Well, these guys can stop. They had the,
oh.
They were mowing.
Wow.
And they had the one lane shut down and stopped the other one.
Wow.
Whew.
Everybody was okay, though, right?
Yeah. That guy's in good shape. My aunt uncle's had to cut him out.
Wow. Wow.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayers, and He answers prayers. And God is so good, He's so good to me. And God is so good, and God is so good. And God is so good, He's so good to me. And He answers prayers, and He answers prayers. He answers prayers, He's so good to me.
That was 3 minutes, people. How disrespectful, how disrespectful. How to respectful. No, we are glad you are here at the Hickman Road Church. We hope you enjoy your visit here. This is a time of worship. We pray that you enjoy yourselves. Hope something said can be encouraging to you. Hopefully your life will be changed. That's not my doing, but because of God changing your life. But we are glad you're here. If you know God is good, say amen.
Amen.
And if you know he's been good to you, say amen.
Amen.
And if you truly believe God has a plan for you, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. 1 Samuel 16 is where we'll be. 1 Samuel 16. And I'll set the scene. Right now, God was looking for someone to anoint. He was looking for David to anoint him. And Jesse was had 8 different sons. And he had one, his youngest son, David, was the one to be anointed as king. He's going to be king over Israel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see David being anointed. Verse 12 says, "So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, he with beautiful eyes and handsome in appearance. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forth. And Samuel rose and went." So David is this average guy, you know, he's this average guy. He's a shepherd boy. He was a shield bearer. But I also want us to relate to this in different ways. He's just a normal guy, just everyday like you and I. Some of us are just average people, you know. Not too much going on with us, but there are circumstances in life when we find ourselves questioning our purpose. Or questioning where we're going in life. And there's times where we ask ourselves the question, can we make it to the next levels in life? And some of us have insecurities. It's a fear of failure. Some of us have these insecurities. Some people have the influences. We have influences from others around us, and we're scared to progress to next levels of life because people have told us we couldn't do it or we can't do it. Some of us have just been beat up in life, and we don't know. Sometimes we question ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we question ourselves and wonder which way we should go. Which way we should go. And I truly believe that in this, I think, due to that, we find ourselves questioning because we don't know. We're not sure what we want to do or what we should be in life. And some of us have been standing stagnant, and we haven't been making decisions that we should be making to take those next steps in life or allowing God to bring us into the greatness that he has prepared for us. Because we are scared, or we're insecure, or we're scared of that failure, or we have that anxiety. We may have that anxiety. But the thing we must realize in all of our experiences and all the things that we go through in our relationships and our friendships and our occupations, our places of work, we have to realize God is always preparing us for something greater. Amen? God is always preparing us for something greater. James chapter 1 would say, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your patience produces endurance." So again, God is always preparing you for something greater. Some of you guys may be thinking, being insecure and nervous and anxious now, saying, you know what? God is preparing someone else for something greater. No, he's preparing you. In this room right now, if you're looking at me right now, he is preparing you for something greater. Do you believe it, though? That's the question. Do you believe it? And in 1 Samuel 17 is a great illustration with David and Goliath. I know you guys are thinking, man, this is one of those child things. But like I said, David is just an average guy like some of us in this room. He's an average guy. He's a shepherd boy. But he is anointed, and he has the Spirit of God that is mightily upon him. And I think that's major. When we, as Christians, we have the Spirit of God, and it is within us. And he's in us, and we have a connection to all the power that we need to succeed. So we have no need for insecurity or a timid spirit. And again, he's a shepherd boy. He's the youngest in his family, so you can imagine all the fights he probably got in with his brothers, the insecurities he had, always trying to prove himself, always trying to be the one, you know. But what little did David know, something amazing was about to happen in his life. Something amazing was about to happen that would change his whole life and change life for the people that were around him. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to start in chapter 1. This is the challenge, David and Goliath. Chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "Now the Philistines gathered," and I want you guys, hopefully you have your scriptures. I want you to have your scriptures because we're going to be in the scriptures today. Is that okay? Amen? Be in the scriptures. We're going to be there. So put your head down. Look at the scriptures because it's really going to it's gonna be fun. It's like super exciting. It's almost like a movie in my mind. So let's have fun in the scriptures this morning. Chapter 17, verse 1 says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah. And they camped along Soko and Azekah. Verse 2, Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley Elah and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines." So you have Israel and the Philistines. "The Philistines stood on one side of the mountain, while the Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with the valley in between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." So this is a big man. He's like 9.5 feet tall. So you got Israel, you got the Philistines, you got this valley in the middle, and it's like then a champion comes out from the Philistines, Goliath, 9.5 feet tall. I can imagine it's like 9.5 feet tall. Verse 5, with his bronze helmet, clothed with armor. Verse 6, he has his javelin, and he's a huge guy. And he's slow. So you can just imagine it's about to go down. It's about to go down. Then verse 8, he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine? Am I not the Philistine, and you, the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to fight me." Verse 9, "And if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Uh-oh. Did somebody just say, oh? I thought somebody said, oh. Verse 10, again, the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Then Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines and were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now I want to stop there for just a moment. This is huge. This is monumental. This is like major. You have the Philistines, you have the Israelites, you have the valley in between them. Goliath comes out and he says, "Listen, guys, I want you guys to bring somebody up against me, and we want to fight. And if we win, you become our servants." It's that simple. I wish things would be that simple now. But it's like if you win, we become your servants. And then so you have the king of Israel. He hears these words. They're up in battle, ready to fight, and they hear these words. They see this giant, and then they get scared and afraid and disheartened. Wow. How are we going to get scared in a time of battle? But this word right here, look at verse 10. He says, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day." This is major because this is questioning everything that Israel is about. And this applies to us today. There are going to be situations that happen in our lives that's going to question everything that you're about. The God you believe in, the people you surround, and the character. Again, your character inside is going to test your heart of who you are inside, what you believe. This right now, their freedom is on the line. I mean, look at the text. The freedom is on the line. And there's going to be situations in life and circumstances in your life right now. They're going to question your spiritual stand and your spiritual freedom. But are you going to be afraid and step back? Or are you going to stand up and fight? Everything rides on this. And like I said, there are going to be situations in your life that will test your character and who you are. It will test your spiritual freedom. And it definitely will test the God that you believe in. And we can't afford to lose what we've gained in Christ Jesus. This is major. Their freedom is at stake. I don't think we truly understand what that means. Our freedom is really at stake. Their freedom is at stake. But they were dismayed. They were thoroughly disheartened. They lost all courage because of fear and because of a sense of trouble. So keep that in mind. There are going to be situations in our lives that are going to bring trouble and a sense of fear. But can we remain confident in God? Look at verse 11. It says, when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 12, now David was the son of Ephraimite in Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had sons. And Jesse was old in his days of Saul and advanced in his years. That's David's dad. Verse 13, the three sons of Jesse had gone after Saul to the battle, and the names of his three sons, one was Abinadab, one was Eliab, and Shema. Verse 14, David was the youngest. Now the three oldest followed Saul. Verse 15, but David went back and forth from Saul and to tend his father's flock in Bethlehem. Verse 16, the Philistines came forward morning and evening 40 days and took his stand. So this is like not a one-time deal. This is going back and can you imagine that going back and forth for 40 days? And then you constantly hear this giant defying the ranks of Israel every day for 40 days, questioning your character, questioning your belief system, and questioning everything, questioning your freedom. Sometimes we go, keep it real. There's times when we go 3 days with something in our minds, and it breaks us down. And we give up and lose heart. We lose heart. Amen? Has anyone in here ever lost heart and gave up on a dream or given up on something that was standing in their way? Can you imagine all the books that could have been written in this world that could have changed your life? Can you imagine what you could have, what you can still do if you just get that object out of your way and stop being afraid to succeed? Lose the insecurities, but have the confidence in God, and He can bring you, have that breakthrough and change your life. Change your life. 40 days questioning their character, questioning their belief, questioning their freedom. 40 days. My goodness. Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your patience produces endurance. Verse 17, then Jesse said to David, his son, take now for your brothers an ephah, and I'm thinking your dog. Take your brother's ephah and take this roasted grain and the 10 loaves and run to the camp to your brothers. Oh, don't forget, bring also the 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of the thousands and look into the welfare of your brothers and bring back the news. For Saul and they and all the men of Israel are in the valley of Elah fighting the Philistines. So again, David is just a normal guy. Actually, he's a gopher. He's going for this and going for that. You know what I mean? He's not the high man on the totem pole. Hey, David, I need you to do something. I need you to take the food to your brothers. They're probably hungry. It's been 40 days. But, you know, take the bread to them. Hey, come back. Bring me news. All right, Dad. Whoa, hold up. Before you go, don't forget to give the people the cheese. They're probably hungry. Go. I mean, so he's just a normal guy. Just a normal guy. Verse 20, so David arose early in the morning and left the flock with the keeper and took the supplies, went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Verse 22, then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered into the order to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke these words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. So you have this army of people. They're prepared in battle. Like, this is what I don't comprehend. And like, follow me here. This is what I don't comprehend. Like, the camp of Israel, they're warriors. They're ready to go to war. They're ready to go to war. We're ready to fight. Fight. You can see the chair. We're ready to fight. And then they get there at war. Then the big man comes in. I was like, oh, wait a minute. No, we don't want to fight that man over there. Wait a minute.
And I don't comprehend it, because it's like, I mean, and I kind of do comprehend it, because don't we do the same thing? God, use me for whatever you need to use me for. I'm your servant. I am here for you. Whenever you need me, I will fight this spiritual battle with courage, with charisma, and I'm going to do it for you, God. I am yours, and you're in me. I have your Holy Spirit. Let's go. Anything, nothing can hold us down. God is with us. Nothing can go against us. And God says, hey, I need you to love your brother in front of you in the church. I need you to love him. Love him? But God, listen, I wanted to do everything. I said I wanted to do everything. But this one, give me somebody else to love. Give me somebody else to love. You know? God, I'll do it. Do we not pick and choose our battles like that, though? Seriously. God, I am all yours. I am all yours. And you can use me in any type of way. Love your brother in front of you. Love Mark. Can I love Betsy? And you know, we pick and choose these battles. We pick and choose these battles. And everything is on the line here. Everything. And you may not believe it, but it's true. Your spiritual freedom is on the line right now. And you have to make a decision on what you're going to do. Are we going to stand and fight? Or are we going to become servants of disobedience? Verse 25, then the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel, and it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. No taxes. Say what? No taxes? Free in Israel? That's a life change right there in the scripture. Do you see that? Look at the scripture. That's a life change. How many of us in here, in this moment right now, have these life changes that would change our lives, but we're scared and in fear to make the decision to choose it because we're afraid, we're insecure, and we don't know what the future holds? And we're afraid at times because somebody said we couldn't be something. Somebody said we couldn't do it. Somebody said, well, that's going to be a long route for you, man. I think you should choose something else. And I'm here to tell you, no one validates you. God validates you. I can't tell you who you are or who you're supposed to be. But you, with God, he will tell you who you are destined to be. And he will bring you into the greatness that you are destined to live. Why? Because God is always preparing you for something greater. He is always preparing you for something greater. Verse 26, Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, wait, time out. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Verse 27, the people answered him in accordance with the word, saying, thus it will be done for the man who kills him. Verse 28, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger burned against David. This is his brother. It burned against David. He says, why have you come down here? That's his brother talking to him. He says, why have you come down here? Has anybody ever asked you or questioned you for the position you're in? Or made you feel like you didn't belong where you are right now? Why are you here, David? Why? He says, why are you here? And with whom have you left those few sheep? Still verse 28. And who have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Has anybody ever minimized what you do? You work hard at what you do, trying to be the best you can be, and somebody comes along and minimizes what you do? Like what I do is nothing. So you're questioning if I'm even supposed to be here. You're questioning if, and all he said, and then you look further in the text, David says, was it not just a question? Is it not just a question? How many of us in here have been minimized and told we didn't belong?
So I want to ask you the question right now. Like, why are you where you are? Why? We've got college students. Why are you in college? Why are you in the schools you are? Why do you plan to go to school? Why? I mean, you would say, well, I got a scholarship here, and I did think, I know this is, I get my tuition paid over here. Why are you in the job you're in? Well, it makes money here, and then this is the best thing. This is what I'm just good at, and I do these things. No, you're there because God is preparing you for something greater. He is always preparing you and for something greater. Your talents are being polished day in and day out. If you are aware and attentive to those tasks that God is putting you through day by day. His anger burned against David, and he said, "Why have you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence, and I know the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." But David said, "What have I done now? Was it not just a question? Was it not just a question?" Verse 30, "Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing, and the people answered the same thing as before. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail on account of him, for your servant will go and fight the Philistine.'" I love David's his charisma, his courage here. He made the decision based on what everyone was telling him he couldn't be. People were telling him, "You can't be this. Why are you here? You don't belong here. And the things you do, you're barely good at it. Why are you here? What's your purpose in life?" And even through all of that, he still makes the decision. He says, "I'm going to go fight the Philistine. I'm going to face what's in front of us, and I'm going to fight the Philistine." Verse 33, again, "Then Saul said to David, 'You're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth.'" Again, negative criticism. He gets it from his family. He's getting it from the leader of Israel, the king. Like, we've endured discouragement from all around, from our families and from those who are supposed to be leading us. We've experienced discouragement, but we cannot allow those people to lower our standards. But we have to be in a relentless pursuit of higher power in Christ Jesus so that we can fulfill his need. God is always preparing us for something greater. Verse 34 says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went after him.'" Yes, the him is the lion and the bear. "I went after him and attacked him," the lion and the bear, "and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him." Whoa, that's courageous. Listen, if I'm ever pet sitting for you, your cat, your dog, and a lion rolls up, your cat and dog just got ate. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not. But something even deeper, but something deeper than that, and something more than that. Something more than that. He says, "I'm fighting for something that's worth something. I'm fighting for God's people, and I'm fighting for a life change, and I'm fighting in obedience to the Lord." That's what we are fighting here in this life. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." Verse 37, "And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go and may God be with you.'" May God be with you. This is so major and key to everything you believe. You may not be interested. You may not care. This may mean nothing to you, but if it does mean something to you, you have to make a decision in life of who you're going to be and what you're going to do in life. Or Satan will make a decision for you, and you will never grow. You will never experience true joy in God if you cannot follow him or be courageous enough to make a decision to make a life change. So make your decision now or never complain when you're a servant and a slave to unrighteousness, slave to lewdness, slave to indecent acts, slave to Satan. There is no freedom, there is no joy in disobedience. Make your decision today. Can you fight the spiritual battle? Again, God is preparing you for something greater. I don't care if the color of your skin. I don't care if you think you're incompetent. I don't care if you have a low IQ. If you know how to follow orders, then you can be in you can be the most powerful person in God's army. Powerful in righteousness to overcome any of the principalities, in any. Go to 1 Samuel 16 real quick. 1 Samuel 16. This is what I love. When he was searching for a king, he kept turning down the sons of Jesse. He kept turning them down. Stay awake, Brooke. He keeps turning them down. Turning them down. Because he's supposed to come and be trying to anoint a king. Verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks where? At the heart." So if you can be obedient to God, then we can be in righteousness with him. It doesn't matter what the circumstances look like, people. I understand, and you don't have to answer out loud, but I know for a fact, God knows for a fact, that every one of us in this room has had feeble hearts, and we have been weak in moments where we should have had courage. We are slow and we lack discipline when we needed discipline. We lack understanding and wisdom when we needed that, because we did not make the decision to choose God and to stand up in the spiritual fight that he has called us to fight. We have been enslaved. We have been enslaved to disobedience. But look at verse 38. Chapter 17, verse 38. "Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with his armor." Verse 39, "David girded the sword over his arm and tried to walk, for he had not tested his armor. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these. I have not tested them. And David took them off." Verse 40, "He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, which in his pouch and in his sling was in his hand. He approached the Philistine." Verse 41, "Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David and when, verse 42, "When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, handsome in appearance." I mean, doesn't that look how the atheist or the non-believer look at Christians? You guys, there you go. Here these people go again, meeting on Sunday mornings for worship, reading that fictitious book with these little fairy tales and stories in them. Those people, the disdain. The Philistine, verse 44, this condescending tone, hear it. "The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come down here with me. You come down here to me with a sword, physical, a spear, physical, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted, disrespected, cast out fear. You casted doubt. We've been dismayed. But I'm standing for the Lord, and I'm standing for God's people, and I'm ready to fight in the name of God. Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into the hands, into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give you the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds and to the sky and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. When you take a stand for God, people will know. When you have that discipline, when you're taking that stand in the situations and the circumstances that you encounter in life, it's not time to feel bad. It's not time to sulk. It's not time to shrink back. But it's time to stand tall in God. David has been being prepared. He has been prepared for this moment that is about to happen. And it's beautiful. This is monumental. And I'm speaking to everyone. I want you to look me in my eye right now. God is prepared, has been preparing you for something greater. He's been preparing you for something greater. Some of us get distracted and we don't hear the words that he speaks to us, but he has been preparing us for something greater. Verse 48. That wasn't supposed to happen. Verse 48. Then it happened, when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and the gates of Ekron, and the slain Philistines lay aside the way, even all the way to Gath and Ekron. So again, we see this beautiful battle of God's people prevailing, because one person took a stand for truth and said, I can change the world. I can change my position. I can change my family situation. And I can do that in the name of the Lord. In this room right now, there are people in this room right now. I want you to think about the things that you fear. I want you to think about those things and the things that you need to overcome with God, so that you can change your position, not only your position, but your family situation. Enjoy the freedoms of God is what he wants us to do. The sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camps, prevail. Verse 57, so when David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, the Philistine's head in his hand. Saul said to him, whose son are you? Didn't even know who he was. Whose son are you, young man? And David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Now I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. It is imperative that we understand that we are going to have people dislike us. We're going to have people doubt us. We're going to have people look at us and think we're crazy. And they're going to tell you, you can't do the things that you want to do in Christ. You're not going to be able to make a difference. You need this, you need that. No, you need God, because he is always preparing you for something greater. Chapter 4 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Then in 1 Peter, he says this, In 1 Peter, he says, chapter 4, it reads, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. The adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour someone." So, I say to you here this morning, have we made the decision that we're going to remain committed to God? Or are we going to, you know, "I don't like this church. I don't like this church. The people here, they're kind of boring. You know, I don't really feel it here. It's not really what I thought it was going to be." Or are you going to make a difference? Are we going to stand and be influential to the community? Are you going to stand and be a part and stand for something, rather than become slave to something else? Can we stand and fight? Not a physical battle, but can we fight and encourage and empower and influence those spiritually and mentally and emotionally to commit to the God who has given you everything that you've needed? I don't understand how Israel ever feared in the first place. These are the same Israelites that came from Israel. A time has passed, but they heard the stories. They knew what God did. They seen God take a body of water, erect the water, and walk across and part the sea and walk across on dry ground. That's the power they knew of their God. And they still doubted. This is the God that has power over nature, has power over physics, has power over everything. And when something physical, an obstacle in life, gets in between us and God, we give up. This is the God who spoke the earth into existence. Not just the earth. He spoke the universe into existence. Who do you know can do that? Does anybody know anybody that can do that? I'll wait. Nobody. So why would we start doubting now? Has anybody in here ever starved to death? Y'all are like, "No, because we wouldn't be here." That's my point. We've never starved. We never died of thirst. We never died. We haven't died of hunger. We haven't, you know, God has given us, we have shelter. God has given us everything we need. Amen?
Amen.
He's given us everything we need and a little more. A lot more. We are a blessed people. We haven't gone with we have food. We haven't gone without so much to the point of death. So why would we start doubting God now? Why? Grades get too hard. Oh, I gotta study for this test. It's so hard. Make time. But this, my job is so hard. These people told me I couldn't do my job. I don't know what to do. Really? That's going to deter you to I don't want to say man up or woman up. I want to say get with God and have confidence in Him and Him only. Amen. That's it. That's the key to life, is standing up in righteousness with God. If you can do that, God with Him, that can be your home. So I want to leave us with this, and I want you to know that the situations you're going through, whether it be school, whether it be your occupation where you're working, or maybe you've lost a job, you wonder, "God, why do you have me lose a job?" Maybe God is trying to providentially work in your life and get you to do something different and better so you can serve Him, His purpose, because He's preparing you for something greater. Is that fair? The situations we are in life, and you're having these struggles trying to get through, and there's no breakthrough, get with God, and maybe you got to change your circumstances and your situation so He can change your life. If He can cause the world to rotate and the sun to rise and fall, I promise you He can handle your situation that you're going through in life. You just got to trust Him and stand up for Him and fight and stop being dismayed and fear and being afraid all the time.
Be encouraged. Have the courage. Have that charisma. Have that confidence in God. God is always preparing you for something greater. If you want to accept Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior, then there's a time set aside. If you are in Christ and you haven't been living as if God is your King and your Savior, then we have got to repent and have a change of heart so that you can change that part of your life. Remember that God is our King, and He's going to give you everything that you need. So if there's a need that you have this morning, please come as we stand and sing. And remember that God is always preparing you for something greater.